It always takes me a minute to compose myself after singing with Lenny. In all senses of the word, I'm moved. Sometimes I'm laughing, sometimes I'm crying. Anyway, Lenny, thank you for being here today, and also to Bill, who you're going to be hearing sing in a few minutes. It's such an honor to be in front of you on this day of our annual meeting, and like I mentioned earlier, I wanted to talk just a little bit about a personal connection and sort of, you know, like basically, why am I here? Why are you here? I don't know why you're here. So all I can talk about is why I'm here. So I will talk about that, and maybe if there's something that resonates with you, we'll find out something new about our community. So I was thinking about this notion of a personal connection and my own connection with Unitarian Universalism. I actually was born into this tradition. I went to the Unitarian Fellowship of Los Gatos, California for my first few years of life, where my parents were members until they got into some kerfuffle with other people on the board and left in a huff, as people do, when I was in elementary school. And so I didn't have a whole lot of connection with the church after that, except that my father, when he was in college, had lived in the housing for the Meadville Lombard Theological School. The theological school that started here in Meadville and then moved to the University of Chicago in the 1930s, he lived there and was intending to become a Unitarian minister at the time, although he said it was really just to get the heck out of Illinois. So he was either going to be a minister or he was going to go into the army. He eventually went into the army instead. But he knew a lot of the people who later became very famous Unitarian and Universalist ministers. So I kind of heard about faith all those years. But really, I didn't do much with Unitarian Universalism in my younger years. I was a kind of a seeker. I went to churches. I tried to find a way of getting that connection that I wanted. Many of you have, or some of you have probably heard the story of the time I went to the evangelical church and they did the altar call. And it's like, if you've heard the voice of Jesus, come on up at the end. I went up at the end and I became a Christian. And it lasted less than 24 hours. Just didn't take. I greatly respect Christianity, but it's just not my deal. I just couldn't quite wrap my head around the theology. And so it was only really in my late 20s, early 30s when I picked up a book called Challenge of a Liberal Faith, which maybe some of you know, and I happened to be reading it on the metro in Washington, D.C. on the way to work. I was like, oh, I guess this is who I am. Right? It wasn't that I became, or it's just I was already there. And so when I came here to Meadville and interviewed at Allegheny College in 1995, the fact that there was a Unitarian Universalist church was a big deal for me. It was very important, in addition to the fact that I did not get any other offers. Both are true. And so, but I guess I would say that connection here was sort of intellectual with Unitarian Universalism, intellectual and spiritual, but not quite so personal. The personal connection has come from being engaged with all of you and with this place for the last umpteen years. And I guess when I say personal connection, what I mean is that I've allowed myself to be affected, to be touched, to be moved, to be changed in some way, so that I'm a different person after having these experiences here. To me, that's what a personal connection means. And obviously, a personal connection is not always something that's good and feels great. I mean, you can have personal connections with things that leave scars or that have leave difficult memories. And you know, I have had some experiences here in the church that have not been fantastic. When I got here in 1995, a couple years later, I ended up on the board. And some of you were around in those days. Man, those board meetings were so stressful. I had to have like 2 gin and tonics when I got home, you know, just to unwind. We've had a few, not in many years, I must say, but we had a few annual meetings that have been very, very stressful. Some of you may remember when we tried to rewrite the bylaws and things like that. That we haven't had those in many years. Could happen today. Hopefully not, but who knows, right? But really, I mean, those are very small number of experiences, really, compared to the really very transformative and impactful experiences and positive experiences I've had here. Some are huge, some are very small. I mean, I remember one time I was sitting in that pew right there, second pew on your left side, and You know, I guess I'm not even sure what was going on with me, but I somehow at some level made the decision not to hide it, whatever it was, and I was crying right there in the pew. And I have no idea what the service was about or what was going on with me, but what I remember was that I was noticed, and after the service, someone came up to me and said, "Hey, what's happening?" And like, that touched me, right? That I was seen. That was great. Sometimes the connections that I've had are with this building. Like, you know, Lenny was singing this from the balcony this morning. I just love that. I love how the music, when the choir's up there or a musician, how it just kind of drops down on you. And there was this one time I was doing a service, and I wrote this story, and I can't even remember it now. It's a bizarre story about a high school dance where the administration was trying to keep the kids away from each other, so they all had to dance with balloons in between them. I don't know if there's any of you who were here for that service, but anyway, and I had these two people demonstrate the whole idea, and of course in the story, the kids, they say, the heck with the administration, and they sort of get close to each other anyway, and the balloons pop. And so that's what happens in the story. So during the postlude, we were playing up here, and my kids and a bunch of others, we'd blown up about 50 balloons beforehand, and they dropped them over the balcony, and so they came down on everybody's heads during the postlude. And afterwards, totally unintentionally, I saw a bunch of people around doing the hugging thing with the balloons and popping them. What a great moment of people hugging and popping balloons in the church. That was just great. So I think about that one. I think of that one. I think of the balcony. Sometimes people just show up authentically in a way that really touches me. And I was just thinking, there's this one moment. A number of years ago, we used to have a youth group, and we took a trip to Boston, kind of a pilgrimage, coming-of-age thing, to Boston. And so we're in the van, and we're driving, and there was this one girl. You may remember Gwen Snyder, Jim and Cindy Snyder's daughter. Some of you remember her. Anyway, she had a period of kind of real serious rebelliousness, and she was in the van. She was talking stuff like, you know how sometimes teenagers get or preteens get when they're really attempting to be 25, but they're really 50. Anyway, saying all this stuff, you know, I won't describe to you, but it's like, oh my God, who are we traveling with? We get to this rest stop, and it's time for dinner, so we go to this restaurant. And Gwen and all the other kids go in, and they have these placemats that you can color with crayons. And they're like, it's time to color! And they fill the whole thing out. It's like, oh, that's right, you know? These are kids, you know? Yes, they talk a good game, and yes, they're also. I just felt really impacted by that, and have remembered Gwen ever since. I don't know if she even knows who I am, but I was really moved by that. The 13 middle school students that we taught in the Our Whole Lives sexuality curriculum also impressed me in that way. We, as you can imagine, with a bunch of middle school students for a program that goes 8 months, where you talk about nothing but sex, is quite something. The edible underwear episode, it's very transformative for me. So, nothing inappropriate, it was just a scientific investigation. But you know, I think maybe in some ways, one of the most powerful ways in which I have a connection is just, it's just the week by week kind of brushing elbows with all of you. Seeing you doing coffee hours, seeing you putting services together, seeing you tending the grounds. I was gonna say some things about some of you, but then I realized there are too many of you that I am inspired by. It would take all afternoon for me to do that. So I'll just mention Margaret Stewart, whom some of you may remember. Margaret Stewart was a member of the church. She and her husband Ray used to come in from Cochranton. Margaret, such a lovely human being. Someone who was kind of, if you didn't know her well, you'd see her as quiet and unassuming, you know. And yet, at age 18, she got on a boat in England to follow this young, dashing soldier that she'd met at the end of World War II, Ray, to come over here, leave her family, leave everything, come over here and start a new life. And really, what an amazing, adventurous soul she was. But it's not just her. I mean, there are just literally virtually everybody in here I am inspired by and have been inspired by it. It occurred to me as I was thinking about this, I hope you know that. If you don't know that, I'll come and tell you, so you know, if I can find you. But really, there are so many ways in which you all inspire me. And I guess one other thing I would say is that sometimes that being touched or being moved, being changed, happens from just a spontaneous kind of, you know, something happens that overwhelms us all and there's nothing we can do. So the day, September 11th, when 2001, when 9/11 happened, that night a bunch of us gathered here. And it wasn't like we did anything. It wasn't like we fixed anything. It was just this was the place to be on that day. Those of us who wanted something that was, we wanted to be connected with people and connected with the world and connected with something that's greater than us. And so we came here. And I guess, you know, that's my greatest aspiration for our community, for this church, that it can be that, that it can be a place for people who want something and sometimes they don't even know what it is. But it's something about connection, safety, a place in the world, a place in the universe. It's really a sanctuary. That's what I hope for this place. And so that's what it is for me. I hope that it is for you also. Thank you. Amen.